You may be seated. So our scripture reading for this morning is only one verse. And if you want, if you have your Bible or your Bible on your phone, you can open up to Revelation chapter 14. And here's the verse from verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And this is God's word for us this morning. So obviously, the last mountain in my mountain series is Mount Zion. But you are going to get an extra bonus session. Next Sunday, Pastor Bill is preaching, and he's going to be talking about a mountain that I didn't cover. So you have that to look forward to. But I also wanted to point out something. You notice how my last reading here, I just read from the book of Revelation. The mountain series started in the book of Genesis, and we're ending in the book of Revelation. So it took Pastor Henry 2 years to get through half of Exodus, and we are getting through the whole Bible in 4 months. Yeah. And there's some cheering for that. But anyway, Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb. This is an important name to understand in the Bible, Mount Zion. Again, as I've been saying over this whole series, how important context is, and how important it is not only the context of a particular verse, but how that whole area fits into the whole of the Bible. And in the Bible, Mount Zion refers to more than just the actual mount, which was located very close to Mount Moriah, where the temple was, the Temple Mount. And Mount Zion is right there, really close to it, in Jerusalem. So in the Bible, Mount Zion can refer to the actual location of Mount Zion. It can refer to the city of Jerusalem itself. It can be referred to as the city of David. The city of David, when they talk about the city of David in the Bible, they're talking about Mount Zion. The city of God is Mount Zion. The holy city is Mount Zion, God's holy mountain. When you read that in the Bible, God's holy mountain, which I read during the confession absolution time in Isaiah 65, it's talking about Mount Zion. And today, in this context, in Revelation chapter 14, what's being talked about here is heaven. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, one of Jesus' closest disciples, wrote this book, said that he saw on Mount Zion the Lamb. So Mount Zion is heaven. It's extremely fitting that the Lamb is sitting on the throne on Mount Zion, because this is the location in the Old Testament of where the sacrificial altar was. And remember, again, just to prove, if you haven't bought into it yet, that the Bible is just one narrative of events. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about on the very first Passover in Exodus chapter 12, how the Israelites were told to sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb that had to be perfect, spotless, without blemish, and then paint the blood on their doorposts so the angel of death would pass over them. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb. We too are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Remember in John chapter 1, where John the Baptist calls out to Jesus and says, "Look, here comes the Lamb of God." So it's very fitting that this Lamb is sitting on the throne on Mount Zion, which is heaven. And the Lamb is not only there, he's not there alone. He's standing in the midst of 144,000 people. And if you want to know more about that number, by the way, you'll have to come to the Bible study on Wednesday night. We don't have enough time to get into that right now. But just know that these are the saints in heaven, surrounding the Lamb and praising the Lamb. And it says there at the end of the verse, the 144,000 who had his name, the Lamb's, and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Which means they belong to God. They are God's. Just like each and every one of us are. When we were baptized, remember the pastor makes the sign of the cross both on your forehead and on your heart to mark you as one redeemed. You can think of it like a tattoo. He's tattooed his name on you. You are his forever. So there's always a question that gets brought up every time the topic of heaven comes up. Does anybody know what it is? What's it going to be like in heaven? Well, I went to some experts to answer this question. So I had some kids in our church draw some pictures. So the first one here is from Ella Glassley. This is when I said, what do you think heaven looks like? Here's what she drew. It looks like there's a lot of color in heaven, right? I think there's some angels up there. I think that's what the yellow things are. The blue, maybe some beautiful water. How about that? But that's what she sees when she thinks about heaven. Let's look at the next one. This is Emma Eckert. This is a picture of Jesus on clouds. There you see the blue clouds. Standing, he's not in prison there, but he's standing at the pearly gates, waiting for us. We get to meet Jesus face to face. The next one, the next picture here, this is from Isaac Glassley. And on this one, he said, there's water parks, TVs, and angels in heaven. Now, I'm not sure which ones are the TVs and the water parks, but there's going to be angels, TVs, and water parks in heaven. This next one from Layla Keller. There's angels. There's Jesus in the center. She's standing next to Jesus. And Jesus there you see is sitting on the throne. Jesus, the Lamb of God. And the last one here from my daughter, Glory. My youngest daughter, that's a picture of Jesus on his throne. And on his lap is Glory and another random baby that Jesus is holding there. There's beautiful sunshine, clouds, trees. Everything's beautiful. So that's what the experts in our congregation say what heaven is going to be like. And you know what? They might not be wrong. They could all be right. They could be all those things. The fact of the matter is, Scripture doesn't give us the details specifically what heaven's going to be like. But we do have some details on what heaven is going to be like. And so I want you to open up your Bibles, if you have them again, to Isaiah chapter 25. Again, wanting to prove to you the Bible is one narrative of events. Listen to what Isaiah says, explaining what heaven is going to be like. And I have the bullet points on your sheet, and they're up there on the screen too. There's three verses here, verses 6 through 8. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. So there's three things here. We get an idea from Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet of what it's going to be like in heaven. There's going to be an amazing feast on this mountain. Even Jesus, when he was in, during his ministry, talked about this feast. It says, you know, there's going to be great meat and great wine. How about that? And God himself is going to be the host of this feast. This is wine and meat you're not going to find at Kroger. I'm imagining it's going to be amazing. And you know what? We will be joining in this feast together and with all those that have gone on before us, who are now in the presence of God himself, all those saints that are with Jesus face to face now, we will be enjoying that feast with them. The second point Isaiah makes here, there will be no mourning or crying on this mountain. It's going to be all gone. No more COVID, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more sin, no more crying, no more rioting, no more any of that. It'll be gone on this mountain, Mount Zion. And the third thing, Isaiah says, there will be no death on this mountain. Because we all know, for the wages of sin is death. But that's not the end of that verse. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we get to go experience the wonderful things God has in store for us on this mountain, where there will be no more death. And we will live with him forever and with each other forever. Now I'm going to jump back because I just got to hammer the Bible one concept home in the last part of this series. Go back to Revelation chapter 21. Because Scripture does give us some clues as to what we will experience in heaven. And Scripture's the best place to go to. Don't be scared, by the way, of the book of Revelation. There's nothing scary about it. Because we have the Lamb who has defeated the beasts and the dragons and everything that it talks about in the book of Revelation. He's already defeated all that. Our King, our Lamb, is already reigning on the throne. But listen to what it says in Revelation 21. I'm going to specifically talk about these first six verses. And here they are. Then I saw, remember this is John the Apostle writing this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. Wow. First verse. The sea was no more. You see, back then in the Bible, the sea a lot of times is symbolic of the things of threatening nature or evil. And so these are the things that are no more. Verse 2, the holy city, New Jerusalem. What is this? This is Mount Zion, coming down out of heaven from God. The third verse, he heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them." You see, God has always wanted to dwell with us, his people. Go all the way back to Genesis when we first talked about Mount Eden. And Adam and Eve, God dwelt with them before sin. But then God didn't just shun them forever. He promised a Savior. And he wanted to continue to dwell with his people. And then in Exodus, with Moses, he had them build a tabernacle that they carried around with them in the desert. And when they built that tabernacle in the Holy Holies, God came there and dwelt with his people. That's what God's wanted to do all along. He wants to be with us. And on that last day, when we go to heaven to be with him, we will be with him and he will be with us. He will dwell with us forever. That's a hard concept to understand, isn't it? Forever. Because we always think in terms of time. It can be confusing to try to put, but time means nothing to God. We will be with him forever. I've had some people say, well, what if we get bored there? I'm pretty sure we're not going to get bored, especially if there's water parks and TVs and all that stuff. And good meat and wine. And best of all, Jesus will be there and we'll be with him face to face. The fourth verse there that I read echoes from Isaiah 25, which I just read a little bit ago. He will wipe away every tear. No more death. No more mourning, nor crying, nor pain. It's all going to be gone forever. Verse 5, he's going to make all things new. You know, we have all been made new. We are new creations through when we were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are new creations. But there, it'll be complete. And the last verse I read, I only read the first part, where the Lamb on the throne says, "It is done." What does that remind you of? When Jesus was on that cross, and one of the last things he said before he died, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say that because he was about to die, but he said that because God's plan of salvation is now done. He took care of all of our sins on that cross. Because he loves us that much, he loves you that much, that he was willing to die on that cross for us. It is done. We are now going to hear a song from the band called "There Will Be a Day." And there will be a day we don't have to worry about any of the stuff that we worry about day in and day out. And that'll be an amazing day. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.